Good morning. We're continuing really in the concept of joy, which Rabbeinu spoke about. And even though we're learning now Torah 23 and 24 in the second part of Likutei Moran, it's important to know what the Rav Kenny once told me is Zatzal. Rav Kenny was my Rav many years. Manik Brestev, Tzadik Emet. And he once told me that Likutei Moran is not a collection of many, many lessons. Just curious, I'm looking right now that the first book is 283. The first part of Likutei Moran finishes with 283 lessons. And the second part goes till 124, by 125. 125, make the cheshbon yoni. 125 plus 283, what is it?
47.
383 plus 25, 17 plus 8, 408 lessons. Maybe I'm making a mistake, but that's what I think right now. 400, Likutei Moran is not 408 lessons. It's one lesson. What does that mean? If you take Torah Aleph in Likutei Moran has how many subdivisions? And by the way, who said those subdivisions? Rabbi Natan. Rav Nosson made them. Rabbeinu just said the Torah. Interesting, Aleph doesn't have. Let's look at Torah Bet. Torah Bet in Moran HaKohanim. Torah Bet, the first, second Torah in Likutei Moran, has Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav.
That's it.
Vav. There are seven. There are six different subdivisions in Torah Bet. Who did that? Rabbi Natan. Because he understood that Rabbeinu gives one concept. Understand that. Internalize it. Analyze it. And then he goes to another concept, a bet. But then you have to connect A to B. And then you connect C to D. And then you connect E to Vav to He to Vav. And then actually, we're going to see that Vav is connected to Aleph, Vav is connected to Bet, Vav is connected, and it's all intertwined. So we'll speak about that another time. So you see that Torah Bet, to understand Torah Bet, you got to subdivide it, like nothing, because it will just give you thing one shot. It would be too overwhelming. Stop. Pause. Like in the Chumash, there is a Parshas Tuma, Moshe Rabbeinu, we got the Torah, Hashem gave it to him the way that it was Parshiot, Parshiot. Not like we read the Aliyot, Aliyah, Kohen, Revi, it's not like that. If you look at there's a Pei and a Samech in the Chumash that tells you that there's a Parsha, it's either Stuma or Ptuchan, that depends how many letters on them. The way we write in the Torah, do you skip a line, is it in the same line? That's just for a sofer to know, but there was a Rebach ben Advekim. It was a moment for Moshe Rabbeinu to internalize the lesson and then get a next lesson. Same thing with each Torah that we're going to learn. Whenever we're going to learn a Torah, now we're learning smart Torahs. It's not divided because it's just one concept. But a longer Torah, there's divisions. And you're supposed to learn Aleph, stop, pause, internalize, understand, and then go to Bet and then connect them and reconnect them and intertwine them. But the Rav told me that the whole Likutei Moran is one Torah. And so in one Torah, for example, Torah Bet, you're going to get one concept, and another concept, and a third concept. And you're going to see how they all intertwine to give you one hasaga. It's the sum of all the parts is more than the parts itself. The whole hasaga is more, the whole flat, you know, the dot that you get, the hasaga, how would you translate hasaga?
The, what you attained.
Yeah, what you attained, what you, you know, the epiphany that you get when you understand everything, it's more than the sum of all the parts. Aleph is Aleph and Bet is Bet, and you understand, but when you put them all together, you get a ruach, you get a derech, you get something more, it's not really definable in words if you would just, you have to understand the sum of all the parts and analyze them from all the angles. But the whole Likutei Moran is like that. So some people, especially somebody who learns Chassid Breslev, but is not a Breslever, he's going to learn one Torah. Wow. And I see how this Torah is connected to what that Rebbe said or this Rebbe said. It's fine. A person can choose his derech. But Chassid Breslev understands that Likutei Moharan is one. And you don't really know what Rabbeinu wants if you only learn one Torah. Because you didn't combine it with the second Torah and the third Torah and the fourth Torah. The same way one lesson, you got to have Aleph Bet. Some people take one sentence in Likutei Moharan and they read it. But you can actually take it out of context. It's not really there. Once the Rav told me that people could read what's written, and it's the opposite of what Rabbeinu says. But Rabbeinu says, no, you read it out of context. Fake news. Mm-hmm. Take it out of context. Come on, you got to know the whole picture, the whole movie. So the whole Likutei Moharan is like that. So to learn one concept, you need hashlamot of different concepts. And even though there is something which is called Mineh Ubeh, and each Torah is an independent edifice, and to understand one Torah, you only need that Torah to understand it. There's another concept we'll speak about another time. That is that each Torah is self-sufficient. And even though I just told you, I know the Holy Kibbutzan, it's true, but it's not true. It's true to understand the whole vision of the Rebbe and to know how to intertwine all the things together. But one lesson itself is self-sufficient. You can understand everything. You can answer all your questions usually from that Torah. But it doesn't change the fact that Rabbi Natan many times in Likutei Arachot is going with one lesson and explaining it, but he's going to give you a lot of background information from different Torahs. As it's written in that Torah, Rabbeinu said this, as it's written over there, and he puts them together. So even, we're learning a small Torah now, which is assuming that you have some other background knowledge. And what are we talking about now? To be happy. How do you be happy in Torah Chav Gimel, in Torah Chav Dalet? Even though we didn't read the whole Chav Dalet yet, we just read the Chav Gimel. It says, dance. Mashal of Simcha. It's a mashal. Doesn't mean you have to dance. Even though Rabbi Natan would dance every day, and told Talmidim, dance every day. And a Breslover dances every day. There's a lot what to talk about that. A lot what to talk about that as well. But here the mashal was a guy dancing, he's not sad. When he stops dancing, maybe it's going to come back. Like when there's a circle, I was at Hashem Brachas yesterday, one guy wasn't dancing. I tried to bring him in, like we said in the Torah. And there's even a story that Rabbi Natan once brought a person in. I grabbed him and I made him come in. The person didn't want to come in. Okay, he told me he wasn't feeling good. It wasn't going to make him crazy. But for Simcha, when you're dancing, you're dancing, you're happy. But there's the guy on the side. He's not happy. He's not with you. And that all is happening inside your mind. When you're in Mida Deshtuta, when you're in a Freilich mode, in a joyful mode, your problems are on pause. It's great. It's wonderful. But we want to do more than that. We want to bring the problems into the circle that there's no problems. And when you come out of the circle, that you realize what you thought was the worst thing, it could be the best thing. And that's called Simcha Bedat, what we said in Torah Yud. There's an internalization of going to a higher level. So there are two levels of Simcha. We're going to call it Mida Deshtuta, which is the catapult. It's the stepping stone. And there's Simcha Bedat, Azamira Merukai Beudi. So I want to read a little bit to you. We touched that yesterday, because in Torah Yud, the Rebbe discusses that Torah, Torah Resh Bebet. And of course, anybody who comes into Breslov usually starts there. But just for the sake of having a Shlemut, we're going to read it a little bit together, Resh Bebet, a little quick, to remind ourselves this Chashuv thing. Shimon, did you ever learn Resh Bebet? Okay, so you see, so this is the Atchana. Torah Resh Bebet in the first Chalik. We're not going to read the whole thing. We're going to start from the second paragraph. V'ken tzarich adam nitzo gam be'atzmo. Okay, let's read in the second paragraph of Resh Bebet. V'ken tzarich adam nitzo gam be'atzmo. A person needs to find in himself as well. Good points. Ki ze yadua. שצריך אדם ניזהר מאוד להיות בשמחה תמיד. A person, as is known, needs to be very careful and meticulous about always being in a state of joy. ונרחיק עצבות מאוד מאוד. To distance the sadness very much. ואפילו שמתחיל להסתכל בעצמו. וְרֹאֵה שֶׁאֵין בּוֹ שׁוּם טוֹב. I'm going to start to analyze yourself. What good do I have? I'm full of sins. And the Yetzirah wants to put you down. He wants to put you into sadness, into depression. Chas v'shalom. Afad piken asur lo lipon mizeh. You're not allowed to listen. You're not allowed to listen to the true voice that he's telling you. Who are you fooling? What's with all your averot? Few mitzvahs you did, but how many things you're doing wrong? I'm not listening to you. I'm going to find something which is good. I'm not only bad, but something good. Could it be that you never did anything good in your life? Now, tzaddikim like you, this is not even a shame. But here, Rabin is talking even about the person who's sitting in jail, a life sentence. He did terrible things. Even he has to pick himself up and find some good. Even that guy, even the mafioso, did he never do something good? Now, by the way, this is talking about everybody. Because even tzaddikim gedolim will feel like they did nothing. I once went to the Rav when I was starting off here in the shul. I told him, it's hard, it's not easy, so many difficulties. I'll tell you a secret. Every Shabbat I told my wife, I don't know if I'm going back next Shabbat. And now, Baruch Hashem, things are taking form. We got a building, we have a few minyanim, and a lot of shurim and a kolam. But at the beginning, it was very tough, and the Rav encouraged me, didn't let me leave. And he put me in, you know that? The Rav told me, go in, start, do this, do that, and I opened the kolam shir. We started one shir gemara at night. Twice a week it was. First shir. At the beginning, we had 10 people. Then it went down to 5 people. Then it went down to 3 people. I think there was 2 people coming. And I stopped. I stopped this year. When I came into Muncie once, and the Rav was sitting there, I didn't tell him I stopped this year. You know, I guess a few months before, I told him, we have a shir twice a week, that's what we're up to. I came in, I said, Rav David, my mashir. What's with the shir? Ruach HaKodesh. Like, he knew I stopped. I said, Rav, they're not coming anymore. He said, nobody is, too. I said, why are you stopping for 2? I said, we were 10, we're 15. He said, Mi ale be'ar Hashem, mi akum imkom kodesho. A lot of people start, but not everybody finishes. But a few people are there, start again. Do something else, add. And that's the only way. Nothing is stable at the top on an ascent all the time. There's ups and downs, ride them. But long term, you're going to see it's going to go up. That's what he told me. But in that conversation, when I was telling him, I feel like he told me like this. He says, "Gam ani choshev al atzmi, ani choshev midei pam ma'asiti b'chayim. What did I do with my life? Ani chashavti." I told the Rav. I said, "Rav, what are you talking about? Rav, you built the whole tzvat. You have the kilah. You have 100. You have how many avrichim? You have schools. You have how many talmidim?" I can understand his desires, what they were to do for the world. And then he did. He didn't finish the sentence. And he made like a movement, like I thought it was going to be. And if you ever went to Tzfat, go see a Friday night in Tzfat. Go see the action over there. What did he want? I don't know what he wanted. But for me, in my mind, I said. And then he did like this. He said, "Ani chashavti she." And then he said, it's like what it was. I was like, I wasn't there anymore. I said, "Aval, no, mamshichi." And he made like a move into himself. He forgot that I was in the room. No, we're continuing. We're gonna do. And aval, and even the little bit that we did, it's good. What little bit that he did is good. That means that even a tzaddik, Baruch HaKodesh, son of a tzaddik, he's a Tamid of Rav Shechabi at 18 years old. He knows the Holy Kutemura. He's friends with. He's Gadol Bisrael, Manik of Klal Yisrael, and he thinks he's not good. And I saw at the moment he did the switch. So it's from the biggest to the lowest. You got to find in yourself. And yet I will tell everybody, you're not good. You're not worth it. And you tell them, shush. Rabbeinu told me not to listen to you. I'm going to find something good I did in my life. Now, obviously, everybody did a lot of good. But to find the first one is always hard. Because the Yetzirah has a lot of arguments about everything you're going to find. That's what he's going to say now. How could it be? Okay, you did something good, and you're going to start to analyze that good that you did. Even the good, which you call good, it's on crutches. It's a mitzvah in the emergency room. Mare pitzaim, wounds, enbu metam, it's not perfect at all. Hainu shoresh shegam ha-mitzvah ve-hadavar shebikdusha shezacha na'asot u-gam ken mane pniyot u-mashavot zarot u-pigayim arbe. Many times you have self-interest. Pigayim, alternative motives. Even when you're doing your mitzvah, your mind is wandering to where it's wandering, to places it shouldn't be. Even when you do mitzvot, there could be a lot of self-interest. You know what he once told me, the Rav? I understood he was talking about himself, I think. Many times he would say, Yesh anashim, ayu harabanim. He was either talking about you or talking about himself. Ayah echad. Or he would tell a story, and then he's telling you a story about you, but he's putting on somebody else, but it's exactly your life. It's like, wow, he's telling me that story. Wow, and does he know me? Yeah, he knows exactly what's going on, but he wants to be very gentle with you, so he tells you a story about somebody else, and you hop. Or he would tell about himself, not to be a big shot. And once he told me, there are people who built shuls and never took a coffee in the shul they built. So that nobody should say, I built it to have my coffee. Built a shul, built a community center, and we're going to get the good machine with the capsules again. And I'm going to sit nachat ruach with the coffee. I built it to have that moment. Even a coffee won't take. I heard in the name of Rabbi Yifrach, you know, he built the Mishkan in Uman. He made a place for all the people that want to come and spend Rosh Hashanah in a beautiful way. It's a wonderfully nice, wonderful building, beautiful building. And he told somebody that at the beginning he thought he was going to take a room there to be closer to the tzibur, and he didn't. The apartment that he had bought years back, he still stays in that apartment. So that he shouldn't have any feeling like, I built the building to have my suite. That means that's the person that has the buddhidut, that introspects his intentions to make sure there's no negiyot. Because you can do a lot of good things, but it's for you. I'm going to go help, but I'm getting something out of it. And with Ibudidut, you're able to analyze those intentions and clean them up. But let's say you're not there, and you're a guy that's supposed to look for the good that you have in your life. And you say, oh yeah, I did that good thing. But why did you really do it? It was to get something. It's okay. Because at the end of the day, something good. It wasn't 100% pure, but 50%, 10%, 5%, 1%. Even 1% of Microsoft is worth a lot. 1% of a mitzvah is huge. Don't tell me I didn't do nothing this time, but it wasn't perfect. But something good was there. Ech efshah shelo haya b'yoto ha-mitzvah davar shebikdusha eze me'at tov. Nothing good in there was. Ki ad kol panim ech shehu, ad kol panim haya eze nikuda tova b'ha-mitzvah b'ha-mitzvah b'ha-tov shah. V'ha-davar tov shah sa. Ki tzarich adam lechapes et v'kesh nitzor b'atzmo eze me'at tov. You gotta find it to bring yourself to a state of happiness. Self-esteem. I'm a good person. Hashem created me. You're finding the godliness. That nikudah tovah is the shekhinah. It's your neshama. It's the pintaliyid inside. And we're gonna see later that the best argument against the Yetzirah, because he's gonna tell you, it's worthless. You're shachris, you're tztaka, you just wanted kavod, even your learning, you just wanted the shidduch. He's gonna tell you all kinds of things, and even your shoe, you're looking at your phone. Come on, what are you folding? Maybe you have an argument with all that. But then you have the joker card against him. And that is, you tell him, Bok shelo asani goy. I was at 8 days old, a bris milah. What can you say about that? I did not do that. God did it. So that is untouchable. You can't get him on that. That's a mitzvah that is shalem. I'm a Jew and I'm not a goy. And that is enough to give yourself a big pat on the back, because it's Hashem that did. So I have major backup to build myself up. Hashem decided out of the 15 billion people that I'm a Yid. And I had a bris. And if you didn't have a bris, I'm still a Yid. And that itself is enough to give the person the beginning, because everything, all kol atchalot kashot, right? Any beginnings are difficult. The hardest is to find the first nikuda. The hardest is to figure out how to make the first note on the instrument. But then the second one is easier, and the third one. And then the hardest is to learn the first page of Gemara. I know people that they wrote 100 words on their first page of the Gemara. Yesh anashim. And the second page, you look at the Gemara, there was 80 words. And then there was 70 words. And then it took a year to finish the first Masechet. And then there's people that are flying through Masechetot. It gets much easier. The Atchala is hard. But once you're in the habit of finding Nikudat Tova, you find many of them. And then you have so many Nikudat Tovot, you realize that you're full of them. And then you're joyful. But the first one is hard. So many times you're going to see that you go on the Shiloh Asani Goy. That's the first one. We're going to make it short today. And this is Simcha Shebedat. This is in the mind. This is bringing the guy on the outside of the circle inside the circle. And there's even more than that, because there's Betzar Chavtali, there's Yiridat Etzur Chariyah, there's a lot of things. Why the hardship is the best, we're going to talk about it. But just to tell you a story that I heard last week, wow, what a story. There was a kid that was good yeshiva bachur, that was solid, nachas to his parents. And then all of a sudden the kid started to go off a little bit. He wasn't anywhere going to the minyan. He put tefillin like later in the afternoon. And he wouldn't be with his hat and jacket anymore. He would still say brachot, but it wasn't the same. The Birchat HaMazon wasn't like before. He was just, skimming the Birchat HaMazon. And the Shabbat, he wasn't really going to shul. Maybe popping at the end with the chevre, kiddush, a little late, musaf. So the parents were beside themselves. They were going crazy. What happened to their boy? After a few months like that, the boy came and made a meeting with the parents and said, listen, I want to tell you. He said to them that from now on, he said he's not frum anymore. Not frum anymore. So that was a catastrophe for the parents. Avelut. So they were broken. But the next day, he put on the tefillin. And he still benched that shvacha benching. And on Shabbos, he still came to the shul. So they said, okay, so far so good. And the next week, the same thing. So the father would say to him, well, you see, he did it. You see, he came to Hanukkah. He was with us for Hanukkah lighting. It's amazing. So after a few weeks like this, they said, the father called him aside. He was waiting for that moment where he cuts off the electricity. He said, you said that you're not from anymore, but I see that you're doing a lot of misses. He said, Abba, I'll just tell you the truth. When I was from, you were counting all my averas. Now I'm not from. You're counting all my mitzvahs. I feel great like this. Wow. They're both true. But where do you put the focus? Because if you put the focus on the averas, then the person is in this state of mind. He's going to be in a bad state of mind, in a depressed state. And the one person is depressed, he doesn't have strength to do anything, so he keeps going down. But if you say, I put tefillin, I benched, I went to shul, I wasn't a full shachis, I wasn't the full Shabbos minyan, I wasn't with all the kavana, with the hat, with the gartel, but it was a mitzvah. And that puts a person into a state of mind of simcha, and simcha will encourage him to do more good things. A lot of encouragement for ourselves, for our kids, for the ones around us.
a lot of good words, a lot of compliments. There was a person that finished Shas. He became a big Talmid Chacham. And he told his story at the Sim Shas. And he said that he was one of the worst Bachurim in Yeshiva. He would never show up. And once he had forgotten, I think, his phone, which you're not supposed to bring the phone into the Yeshiva, and he forgot something in the desk. So he came for Seder Gimel, which he never would show up for Seder Gimel. He would make an appearance in first Seder, second Seder, just not to get kicked out of Yeshiva, but Seder Gimel. And so he came, and he came to get something. But the Magid Shir was there. He came to him, and he told him, Shmuley, I don't know his name was, I'm so proud of you that you came to Seder Gimel. And it could be even that he opened up the Gemara to check something. There's a few stories like that, but maybe he opened it for a second. I wanted to just see something and told him, I'm so proud of you came. Could be not. You came here. And he felt so happy with the compliment that he came back the next day. And the Rabbi Agev gave him the compliment. And he felt so good that somebody was telling a good word that he started to learn. And he would keep getting shvachim. And then he ended up becoming a Ben Torah and finished the Shas. And he said, that Rebbe, for the mistake compliment that he gave me, changed my life. Because he said, I never got a good compliment. I never got one. So how do we pick up a person who's really down, find something good that's really good, and compliment them on it? And you're going to see that that gives a life to the person to want to experience that praise again. He's going to try to excel in that thing. You probably think about it in your life. You probably remember good compliments that people gave you when they pointed out that you're good at something. So we have to do that to ourselves a lot also. That's Simchat Shebedat. Chazak Baruch.